Oh, Psalm 4. I don't know about you, but I can be the person that puts my head down on the pillow and my thoughts just keep going. I will worry about what I didn't do today. I'll worry about what I need to do tomorrow. I'll worry about a conversation I had with somebody that I didn't feel good about 3 weeks ago. I'll worry about what's coming next. And I call it spinning. I can just spin in my own worries and fears. Frankly, right now, my son is on that bus on the way home from mission trip. I will not feel better till he's back in my home tonight, right? I never really worry about them when they're at the trip, but when they're traveling, I want them back home, right? I have a feeling I'll be helping him with lots of laundry tonight too, so maybe I'll reconsider that, wanting him back home. But this scripture is written by David. And it's written, it looks like, as an evening prayer, because Psalm 3 before it is more of a morning prayer, and Psalm 4 is more of an evening prayer. And he starts out in distress. And we're going to kind of walk through this scripture together, piece by piece, how he gets to the end of "Tonight I will lie down in peace." Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hill, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds and the calming of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So I'm preaching 9:30 contemporary tomorrow, where we use a little bit more images and that kind of stuff. I didn't want to use the screen because that image is just so much better. But one of the images I am using tomorrow is how I give myself a false sense of peace. And it is my iCalendar. It is color-coded. Green is for family and personal things. Red is for church. Purple is for Baylor schoolwork. Then I have some yellow is when I'm on call. And it is just beautiful, y'all. Like, it's beautiful. I took a screenshot. I'm going to show them. It's so organized. And it's so meticulous. And I spend time creating this sense of calm. Yet honestly, when I was trying to find a screenshot to take of, I looked at my calendar and thought, am I crazy? Like, this is not calm. This is a horrible example of what calm can look like. Yet it's what I started with, and I realized we all kind of do that. We seek our own calm in our own way. Maybe it's through finances. Maybe it's through friends. Maybe it's through different structured things that we create around us so we feel the order. Yet when we are striving for all of these things, it actually creates a little bit more anxiety, a little bit more fear, and a little bit less peace. One thing I've done this year is I've stopped wearing my Apple Watch, and I went back to an old school watch. The only problem is they don't make them for my eyes anymore, so I just kind of have to assume what time it is. But the reason I did it is because I felt that I was being too distracted. I know a lot of people wearing them. I'm not judging wearing them. But I felt myself looking at my watch more and less with the person that was with me. If it buzzed, I couldn't move forward without seeing the notification. That's what this scripture is to me, is an iPhone with every notification on. I had a bad idea, and so I chose not to do it. I was going to tell all of you to keep your ringers on for church tonight. Because I wanted to see how many bings, dings, we already had a doorbell, like somebody came to somebody's door, how many notifications we had during this service. A text message, I'm sure somebody came to my door, an email alert. I mean, I get alerts. My new dishwasher sends me text when it's done. And I don't know how to stop it. Like, that's not okay. But we have this device that creates order and ease and peace. Yet what if you tried to go to bed? In fact, at children's camp, I was a camp counselor. Like, I was the camp pastor, I guess. So I left my phone on at night with the ringer on because people might call. And typically I have pretty much, you have to be my husband or my children or my mom to get through after 9 o'clock at night. I have all the parameters set to do not disturb. And I was trying to go to bed one night, it was around 11:30, which is way past my bedtime, and the camp text is just going. And then somebody's responding, and then I'm looking to make sure that a kid's okay, right? Like, it was just like, finally I thought, I can't do this. And I turned off my ringer. They knew where I was sleeping. If they needed me, they could come get me. It was a camp. We were all there. That's what this psalm does for David. It turns off every single ding, bing, bop, whiz, even your dishwasher, and only allows God to get through. So let's look through it kind of piece by piece. Let's look at verses 1-3. What I want to focus on in that is how David starts. And it's kind of desperate. I hear it actually a little angry when I read it. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You give me room when I was in distress, but be gracious to me and hear me. Hear me, God. How long, you people, shall honor my and suffer my shame? How long will you love in vain and seek after lies? This is not joy-filled. You can read it like, answer me when I call, oh God. No, no, no. David's in distress. David is wondering where God is. And as Allison read it, she used the Hebrew in there that says Selah at the end of different verses. I want to explain to you what that is for when you're reading this week. So these were Psalms, which is a song or poetry. And the Selah is meant to pause, to respond, to think, maybe to change something. Even in our prayer that we read before this, this isn't a judgment thing, but if you're just reading scripture and closing the book, if you're not allowing the words to absorb into your heart, your mind, and your soul, if you're not allowing the words to change who you are and how you see things, you're not doing it right. And that's what this Selah is, to stop, absorb, notice, and let it change you. You can read any book you want. This is the living, breathing word of God. Let it breathe within you. So here he is. David pauses. And instead of just reacting, he then changes in the next verse. In verse 4, he says, when you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder in your beds and be silent. This is the part that got me. The sin is our intrusive thoughts. The sin is the noise of the world. And David is saying all these things. God be with me. Help me in my shame. Where are you? And the next verse is, when you lie down at night, don't sin. Turn the notifications off and only allow the peace of God to enter your heart. I know we all go through our things. Some of us are going through more than others right now, but we're all going to have our moment. Life is not going to be always unicorns and butterflies. Yet in each and every moment that God brings to us, God's there. And we can choose to organize our lives with a color-coded calendar that brings me a soft and false sense of peace. That actually, this morning in my color-coded calendar, I was supposed to walk my dog at 7 a.m. I did not do that. I was supposed to then write a paper from 8 to 11 and then go to the gym. Well, I wrote a paper and my phone buzzed for the gym, and I thought, exercising my mind, we're fine. So by 11 o'clock, my calendar didn't even matter. The most important thing I did this morning was go sit out back, read this scripture again, and let all the noise go away. There was a dove sitting on my fence. Then the dog saw the dove, and then that peaceful moment went away really quickly. The water in the pool was going, and I thought, this is what Psalm 4 is talking about. Because when you let go and let God be at the center and let everything around you be silenced, here's the trick. Your circumstances don't change. You're still where you are. But the way you see them can change. The way your heart is softened can change. So let's keep going. In verse, let's move to 6. This is why I don't use a lot of notes. There are many who say, oh, that we might see God. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord, for you have put gladness in my heart. See how quick it shifted? Just in verse 3, we're talking about shame. Why are you letting shame be a part of my life? You realize in this culture that he's writing of, the honor and shame culture is real. We kind of live into it, but not in the same sense that it was in biblical times. You were either good or bad. You were either honored and brought honor to your family, or you brought shame. And David is feeling shameful at the beginning. Most likely, he was about to be in exile again, which is not a thing of honor. It is a thing of shame. Yet then, 3 verses later, you have put gladness in my heart. He didn't say, I've put gladness in my heart. He recognized the outside voices that were in, named them as sinful, and saw that God put gladness in his heart. The next part I wanted to point out too, because he says, you put gladness in my heart more than when grain and wine abound. So again, in this culture, when you have lots of grain and you have lots of grapes to make wine, things are abundant. That is like saying, when you give me a bonus and all my Amazon packages are free, right? That would be mine. That would be my like, oh, that's awesome. But when there is life in abundance, when you give me all the grains, if I got a bushel of grain delivered to my house today, wouldn't quite know what to do with it. But in this time period, that was when you knew you had arrived. And he keeps going. And it's not much longer, y'all. It's just one more verse. And he ends with this. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. I think about this prayer and what he's doing. And sometimes I believe as Christians, we make Christianity too hard. I believe that prayer is something, when I'm in a room full of adults, do you know who always looks at me to pray? Every other adult in the room, right? Do you know what happened last week at children's camp? When I asked somebody to pray, 14 hands shot up. What changes? That sin that David's talking about, the outside noises and the outside voices, is my prayer gonna be good enough? I think what we do wrong sometimes, or with the wrong intent, isn't to pray, it's not to pray. The greatest blessing is God himself. His presence produces joy that cannot be purchased, cannot be taken away. The world's happiness depends on abundance. Biblical joy depends on God's presence. I will lie down and sleep in peace. Nothing changed in David's situation from verse 1 to verse 8, except for his heart, except for his trust in God. He's still surrounded by uncertainty. His enemies have not disappeared. His problems are still going to be there when he wakes up in the morning. Yet he sleeps. Because peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the confidence in the presence of God. True peace comes that knowing when we sleep, God remains awake. Think about that. When we sleep, God remains awake. The safest place in the world is in the hands of the Lord. So I really think this psalm invites us to trade panic, whatever word you want to use there, fear, uncertainty, and trade it in for prayer. There is nothing you can do that can separate your love, God's love for you. There's nothing, which just is an insane concept sometimes. And God can handle it. Each and every one, your deepest, darkest shame, your deepest, darkest fear. You think you're hiding it from God? Not only does God know, but God understands. God loves. And that peace that we're so desperately seeking is given freely. I know it's not a magic pill that we can take or swallow. I know that peace can come in moments and vanish in others. But what never vanishes is God's love for you. What never vanishes is God's presence. all we have to do is say, here's my stuff, and replace it with prayer, and allow us to lay our heads and rest at night. Will you pray with me? Dear God, I ask that you surround the people in this room, those listening online, with the peace that surpasses all understanding. Let them feel it deeply in their soul. Let them know that your presence, your peace, your love is in abundance. There's enough for each and every one of us. We need to ask. We don't need to have fancy degrees, fancy titles, or fancy words. We can just say, God, where are you? Are you with me? And recognize the peace of God that surpasses all understanding in each and everything that we do. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.